Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. Praise the Lord. I got a little bit of a word for you to ponder and chew on when you get home. Amen. Kind of like a little bit of beef jerky. You know, you just chew on it for a while. And the bigger it gets, the more you chew on it. Praise God. Well, hopefully this will be a little bit of beef jerky here tonight. Amen. Everybody love beef jerky? Some of you got your noses sticking up. Well, hopefully it'll be some good sausage for you tonight. Amen. Amen. Or good bacon. Acts 17 and 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Praise God. For in him. Everybody said in him. Amen. In him. That's what I want to title this tonight. In him. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the opportunity tonight to come into your presence. For Lord, I've already felt your presence here. Help us tonight with the word of God. Let it be a revelatory word to our hearts. Let it speak to each and every one of us in some way to strengthen us and to help us in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise together, can we? Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. When we look at this scripture here, I see three things here that stand out when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. For the very first thing is, for in him we live. Everybody said live. In him we live. So there is life in him. In him we move. Everybody said move. That's our strength and our energy. In him we have our being. That's who we are. Amen. That is who we are in the depths of our person in so many different areas. Now, for those of you that was here last night in Bible study, I'm going to touch on a few things that we touched on last night, and we've been having a good time in our Bible study on Tuesday night. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'll just leave it right there. But in him we have our being. That's the essence of what we are and who we are. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 9. All right, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him. Now this is speaking of you and I, has made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that would be God's hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. And so who are we that he would even think about us, that he would be mindful of us, that he would think about us? And he does think about us, praise God. And he thinks about us more than the sheep and the oxen and the birds, but he keeps track of those as well. And so when we look at this here tonight, in essence, everything we are, everything we have, everything that we hope for is in him. Somebody said in him. In him. That's what I'm preaching about here tonight. And another scripture gives us a truth that takes us a little bit deeper into this. And it says that in the image of God we were created. God created us male and female, and we were made in the image of God. And I want to talk about that image of God tonight and how that the Lord wants us to let him shine through us outwardly from us so that we can touch somebody else and let the light of God shine through us. Praise the Lord. And so each of us have been created in the image of God, and how we are made, I've thought about this over the years many, many times. When I look at humanity, I say, Lord, how in the world could we ever be the image of God? How in the world could we ever even come close to the image of God? But sinner and saint, we were all made in the image of God. Amen. And so how we are made is an example of God. It is an example of the image of God. Praise the Lord. And so there are some things that I begin to look at in Scripture, and some things that I looked at in relationship to God himself. And I found out when I began to look at it, and I think I've known it all along, God has a mind. Amen. God has a mind. And so when we look at the mind of God, Romans 11:34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Praise God. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who has counseled God? Amen. I saw one little clip of a TV evangelist, and he said he was praying, and while he was praying, the Lord spoke to him and asked for his advice on a certain subject. And I thought, you know what? We can get so far away from truth. Amen. We begin to think that we are the counselor of God. But God has a mind, and in the mind of God is everything that we need. It is the wisdom that we need, and there are difficult questions in life. There are difficult decisions that we have to make in life, and what we need is to conform our mind with his mind. Amen. And I think that sometimes we become God's counselor, just like the preacher. I won't even call him a preacher, but the man that counseled God. And without realizing it, without knowing it, we can counsel God. Amen. And you say, Pastor, how can we do that? Well, I think we can do it without even realizing it when we go to God in prayer and we say, Lord, this is the need, and Lord, this is how I want you to work it out. Praise God. And we become the counselor of God. We need to be careful what we pray for, because what we pray for may put us in a worse place than where we were before. You know why? Because none of us have the mind of God. We have a mind that is to express God. And so before we make any decisions, we need to get the mind of God. Amen. We need to find his mind. Often we find his supposed mind because it fits our narrative. It fits what we want to do. We have a need, and we figure out in our mind how we're going to get that need met and what direction that we need to go, and then we pray about it, and we feel a little tingle, and we say, well, that was God, and the Lord told me this is what I need to do. I always have had a question over the years. When people say, the Lord told me this or the Lord told me that, I have to ask and I have to find out, who is your Lord? Amen. And oftentimes their Lord is themself. Praise God. And they say, the Lord told me, and I'm in the will of the Lord. And they might be true. The Lord, who is them, told them what they needed to do, and so they're in the will of their own flesh. But what we need tonight is we need to conform our mind to his mind. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And so to be in the image of God, we must strive to think like God thinks, at least to as much a possibility as we can, because his thoughts are higher than the heavens are above the earth. That's a long ways. I don't know how many sectillion miles it is from the earth, but that's how far away his thoughts are from our thoughts. And so when we strive to think the way God thinks, we come up with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. And if you'll turn there with me tonight, we'll look at it here just briefly. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" And see, we can get to the place where we instruct God. I had a man, we went to visit him in Boston, and we were talking to him about the Lord, and he got very adamant and very angry. He was a self-proclaimed Christian, and he was so far away from God he couldn't even realize it himself. And he picked up his Bible, and he threw it on the floor, just pitched it and threw it on the floor. And he said, "You probably think I'm not saved because I just did that." He said, "I'll tell you what, I command God to do things." And my very first thought was, "I got to get out of this place. Amen. I don't want to be around these spirits." I should have just rebuked him and cast him out of him right then. But he had some other people with him, and I thought we was headed for a fist fight or something. And so we just got out of there. But that sentiment exists in our world. Nobody knows the mind of God. Nobody can instruct God. And I'll go a step further. Nobody can command God. Amen. But we have the mind of Christ. And so what we put into our mind is who we are. Amen. Is what we are. And so what we need to put in our mind is the good word of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. The good word of God. What we need to put into our mind is the preaching of the word of God. Somebody said amen. 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 What we need to put into our mind are pure and holy and godly things. Scripture says whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is just, so on and so forth, think on these things. And the reason the Scripture tells us that is because that's how God thinks. Amen. God never has an impure thought. God never thinks in that respect. And so God has a mind, and that's why he gave us a mind. Amen. God has a heart. Everybody said a heart. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 2. Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 2. And Brother Reed, when you get there, would you be able to read that for me? And we're going to read down through verse 7. Ezekiel 28, 2 through 7. Amen. Now think about that tonight. Historically, that was the prince of Tyrus. At that time, his name was Ithabal, and or Ithabal the second, whichever. And it was his name implies a close connection with Baal, the Syrophoenician supreme god who represented. Whose representative this king was. And so the king here, the Bible says that he had great wisdom and he increased mightily. There was no question that he could not answer. He was a very wise man. I thought of Solomon as well. But Solomon's heart was not perfect before the Lord, Scripture says. And he could answer any question. He could do anything in the wisdom of his mind. He had a great kingdom. And what he did not understand was that wisdom came from God. Amen. And so if you're blessed tonight, that came from God. And if you have some things that others don't have, it came from God. But it should not lift us up in pride in our hearts. Amen. Let's look at the heart of God and Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Here is an expression of the heart of God. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, this is God, he found himself in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. God humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, who was he obedient to? He was obedient to his own word. Amen. Because God cannot go back on his word. And Scripture prophesied of the Messiah that would come, who would be God with us. And so all the way to the cross, right before Jesus gave up the ghost, the God of heaven humbled himself. Amen. Isn't that enough tonight for us to humble ourselves? Amen. We should be humble people. Amen. We should be humble and not lifted up in pride of ourselves. John chapter 3 and verse 16, and we could probably quote this one here tonight. For God so loved the world, God so loved, that comes from the heart, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so when you look at the heart of God, our heart, we should strive for our heart to be like God's heart, so that we can be the image of God. Amen. So that when people see us, they think about God. Very simple tonight, but very profound at the same time. When we find a little bit here about the heart of God, we find that it is love for others. Praise God. Amen. We're in a selfie generation today. We're in a self-centered generation today. We're in a generation that wants what they want, and they want it right now. And if they can't have it, then they're going to get upset or do whatever. But I want to tell you tonight that there is more to life than just me. Praise God. The puppets sang it over there, J-O-Y. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Praise God. And that's where humility really comes into play in our lives. Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The truth of the matter is, we are our brother's keeper in a certain fashion. Amen. We really are. And if we can have the humility that God had, then we can express the image of God. And our heart, not necessarily the pumping heart that's inside of you, but the heart is the center. The word heart in Scripture means the center. The center of your emotion, the center of your passions, the center of your desire. Amen. And when we look at it, and we talked about this last night in Bible study, that God has emotions. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, he does. God gets angry. Amen. It's all right to get angry. When it's right to get angry, praise the Lord. God gets angry. God has love in his heart. God has compassion in his heart. And really, if we want to look at this here tonight, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, gives us the fruit of God. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, capital S. So that is God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's all say these together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Praise God. Those are great qualities to have. And when we talk about our heart, we can talk about these attributes because this is the fruit of God. God is the Spirit. Amen. God is a Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, we have a inheritance of God inside of us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. And so if we go just a little bit further, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, Proverbs 14 and verse 30, I want to use this tonight as a spiritual application. Proverbs 14 and 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Amen. And so he's not talking only about your physical heart, but he is talking about that as well. There's a lot of medical things in the scriptures that we can go to, but a sound heart, somebody that's got a good heart, amen, and it just really pumps good. What was that fella's name that rode the bicycle over in Europe and won everything that he ever did? Just pulled right out in front of everybody. I think his name was Armstrong, and he had a heart that was really, really strong. Most people, and I know this from experience and reading and studying, that most people have a 60% capacity of their heart. If you have 60% of your heart pumping, you're in the normal range. And they said that Mr. Armstrong had a 100% ejection rate in his heart, and he could just go like a machine because there was so much blood flowing through his body. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, but here it says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. And can I say tonight that a sound spiritual heart is the life of the spiritual man and the spiritual woman? Praise God. And so the strength of our heart is, of our spiritual heart, is the strength of our spiritual heart. Our spiritual heart goes along with the spiritual man. Praise God. Amen. All right, so God has a heart. God has hands. Psalm chapter 118 and verse 16 tonight. Praise the Lord. I hope you enjoy Bible study. Amen. That's what we're doing here tonight. Psalm chapter 118 and verse 16. And Brother Reed, would you get me Mark chapter 10 and verse 40? And let's see here. Hunter, will you get me Matthew chapter 25 and verse 33? All right, we'll read those here in just a moment. But Psalm chapter 118 and verse 16, it says, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." Amen. So it talks about God's hands, and I want to talk about if he has hands, amen, then he has a right hand and a left hand, because we were made in the image of God. And so there is a spiritual application to this. Mark chapter 10 and verse 40. All right, so he made reference there to the left hand, on the right hand and on the left hand. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 33, read for that for us tonight.
And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand.
All right, so the sheep, that's you and I. Hopefully that's you and I here tonight. Amen. There's sheep and goats, and the sheep go, yes. And the goats go, but, amen. Well, I'm telling you here tonight, friend, I don't want to be a goat. I want to be a sheep. Praise God. Goats are for Taco Tico. Praise God. That's a fact. Amen. Tastes pretty good, doesn't it, Brother Mike? Amen. I'm telling you what, it's got a flavor all of its own. Praise God. But God has hands. God has a right hand. God has a left hand. And by indication in the scripture, the right hand is the place of authority and power. Amen. And the left hand is reserved for those that are cast away. I think it's interesting in our generation, we talk about the right and the left. Amen. And the different ideas that are between those two. Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, and it says here, and the hand, not hands, but the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I believe tonight that God's hand is with us. I do. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on anywhere. God's hand is always upon his people. If the king makes a fire and says, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you in the fire. Hey, listen, we're not worried about it, king, because we're in God's hand. We're in God's hand. And whatever God uses his hand for, it is for the betterment of any situation. Praise God. And scripture tells us here, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. I'm going a little bit fast here tonight, but just keep up with me. I won't be going much longer here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, since God has hands and God betters things with his hands, then we have hands that are to be used for the betterment of those that are around us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever, everybody said whatever. That's everything. Everything. Amen. Whatever you find your hands to do, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it haphazardly. Is that what it says? Got to look at it a little bit closer here tonight. Do it when you've got time to do it. Well, sometimes we have to do that. Praise the Lord. But whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Praise God. And I'll tell you what we do, we've got to do it quickly. Amen. Well, praise God. We've got to redeem the time, the scripture says. And with the hand of God, he does make things better. I'm assuming here tonight that if I had everybody testify and say what God has done in your life, we could say the hand of the Lord has been on each and every one of us. Because you're better off tonight than when you came to God. Well, praise the Lord. We don't like to talk about that sometimes because we don't want folks to know how bad we really were. We'd rather have folks look at us in a good light. Amen. But some of us were deep, deep sinners. Amen. And thank God for the blessings of God tonight. Praise the Lord. So God has hands. Did you know God has feet? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 27. I'll give you an opportunity to get there tonight. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. Amen. And so he put all things under his feet at Calvary. Praise God. There was a victory that took place at Calvary. There was something that was established there at Calvary, and the Bible says he put everything under his feet. When we look at God's feet in Scripture, it is always typified by brass. His feet looked like brass in every instance, in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, wherever you see a picture, or God gave a picture of an image of himself, it was always with feet of brass. and brass represents judgment. Now, lest we think here tonight that God is just a God of judgment and wherever he walks, he judges, but he does judge. That's why he is the judge, and we should not judge one another. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, judge not. Amen. And that's in a specific context. I don't have time to go through that here tonight. But God is our judge, and eventually all things that are not good will be under his feet.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so, since we were made in the image of God, it makes sense to me that all things are under our feet. Well, praise the Lord. I was teaching Bible study Saturday morning, and I felt impressed to teach about miracles. Amen. And so I began to talk to those folks about miracles. And the more I began to talk about miracles, scriptural miracles, personal miracles, miracles that I have seen, everybody got real excited. And they were right there with me, and we were talking about miracles. And it came time to close, and I said, all right, who wants to pray for a miracle right now? And as it is wont to do sometimes in a nursing home, it got real quiet. And it was like, oh, you mean it can really happen with me right here now? I'm telling you what, God has a great plan, a great future for each and every one of us. The devil cannot destroy you. Persecution cannot stop us. The negative things of our world cannot stop us because God is with us. God is for me tonight, and it's all under our feet. Just like Joshua captured those kings and put them in a cave, and when they were done with the battle, he came back to the cave and brought them out and told his soldiers, put your feet on their necks. Amen. And I don't think they just lightly put it on. I think they put a lot of pressure until those kings begin to squeal and holler in pain. Amen. And I'm telling you what, we have the Holy Ghost in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. We have been given authority. God gave Adam and Eve authority in the world. Amen. God gave the church authority. Amen. He said, I give you power over all the works of the enemy, not just a part of them, but over all the works of the enemy. We are victorious here tonight, and it doesn't matter if we feel victorious or not. That's where the word of faith comes in, and we say, God is for me. Praise the Lord. I don't see any way through this wall, but somewhere God's going to put a door in there. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, and I'll let Brother Reed read this for me. I'm glad there's a Reed here tonight. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5 through verse 9. Praise God.
But now we see that not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Well, praise God. We ought to shout about that tonight.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost here. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Praise God. We're a little lower than the angels. We can't disappear. We can't fly around in heaven. We don't have those abilities. But I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, praise God. We're going to shout the victory for all of eternity. You see, tonight we were made in the image of God. And our mind, our bodies, our hands, our feet, our heart, and I could go on in many different areas here, but I just wanted to challenge us here tonight to get a hold of this and get a grasp on what the Scriptures is trying to tell us here so that our life will allow, our bodies will allow. The Bible says to make our bodies as a living sacrifice so that our mind and our life and our hands and our feet, the things that we do, the places that we go, we will become and more the image of God. Amen. Romans 8, 17 and 18, I finish with this here tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Everybody said an heir. Heir. I forget their names, but it's Prince William. Is it Prince William? And Kate? Right, William and Kate. He is heir to the throne. And he will be the next king of England. He is an heir. He's not an heir yet, but I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you he's got bodyguards around him all the time. Amen. Because he's a very special person. Amen. In their country, he's a very special person. And we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. I don't completely understand that. That's a very lofty and a very high place. Praise God. Don't ever feel like you're a nobody. Amen. Because he has promised us some great things here. If so be, excuse me, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You say, well, how can I develop my life, my spiritual life, so that I am the image of God, so that I could be made in the image of God? I only find one way in Scripture. It's not through prosperity. It's not through getting everything that I want, but it's through suffering. Through suffering. Amen. It's through suffering that we become glorified. It's when we go through the fire that we are purified. And those attitudes and those things, they surface. Amen. And those are the times that we scoop them off and throw them away. And we say, God, I want to shine for you. I want to say the right thing. I want to do the right thing. Even though, everything is not under our feet at this point, and that's our flesh. But one day we're going to be changed, and our physical bodies are not going to be what they are right now. Praise God. And he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. We have what Scripture calls so great salvation. So great salvation. Because it's not just a salvation of our soul. It's the salvation of our mind. It's the salvation of our heart. Praise God. Because I tell you what the devil will go after first. He'll go after your heart. Amen. Amen. If you're in battle, they're going to go for your head, or they're going to go right here between your chest. That's where your heart is. And if they can't get that, they'll shoot your hands. If they can't get that, they'll shoot your feet. Because they know these are very important parts of the body, and without them, we're not going to survive the battle. Praise God. God wants us to have strong hands, strong feet, strong hearts, strong minds. Strong prayer lives, praise God. Strong reading of the Word of God. Strong relationship with the Lord. And when you have that, things are going to change for the better. Amen. And we'll have the victory. Let's pray together. Come on, somebody, lift your voice with the pastor tonight.